present Kenneth Williams, Clement Freud, Peter Jones, and Derek Nimmo in just a minute. And as the minute waltz fades away, to tell you all about it is our chairman, Nicholas Parsons.
Thank you very much. You're almost as warm and responsive as the audience we had a number of weeks ago. Once again, it's my pleasure to introduce to you just a minute, and for those who've heard the game many times before, you will have recognized that we have our four regular players of the game. They've all been in just a minute since it first started, and we'll begin the show this week with Clement Freud. The subject is the intellectual members of our audience. Can you tell us something about that subject? In just a minute, starting now.
The intellectual members of our audience are sitting at the back, come from Cambridgeshire, and do joined-up writing. They're full of all sorts of bits of information, like they would know whether Nitz Nackers was smaller or larger than Nat Nickers. They would know that Y equals MX plus C, and they'd be exceedingly knowledgeable on algebra and trigonometry. Many of them have passed A-levels, some only going for O's, whereas a few get exceptional classes in their CSE and university entrance exams.
Hesitation, a full stop, but that is hesitation in the game, and as you probably guessed at home or wherever you're listening, we do have some followers of Clement Freud's from Cambridgeshire who enjoyed his comments. There are 18 seconds for you, Peter, having got a point for a correct challenge, to take over the subject of the intellectual members of our audience, starting now.
I'm not at all sure that there are any intellectual members of our audience. I can only suppose that if there are, then they've wandered in here by mistake. And they'll soon be swiftly making for the exit when they are horrified by the...
So, when 60 seconds is up, Kenneth Williams, I'm sorry. When 60 seconds is up, Ian Messiter blows his whistle.
Losing it, and he's going completely to pieces.
I know. The effort of concentrating with the tremendous strength all the throughout. No, Ian Messiter blows his whistle when 60 seconds is up, and whoever is speaking at that moment gains an extra point, and it was, of course, Peter Jones, who is the only one to score in the first round, and we'd like you, Peter, to be... In the second round, the subject is taking the chair. After the intellectual members of our audience, will you tell us something on that subject, starting now?
Well, it's something that I would certainly hesitate to do, because I believe it is occupied by somebody who, for his age, does a very good job. He is our chairman. I suppose that would annoy some of the women's livers. One should say chairperson. But in his case, I don't think it really matters, because the sex, after all, is a matter of opinion, largely, in his case. A certain epistemic quality...
Well, deviation. Sex is not a matter of opinion. People have certain obvious outward signs.
I'm pointing out that his outward signs are not very obvious.
I think this is one of those occasions when I will put it to the judgment of our audience, who have already established that we have an intellectual...
Could you... ...judgment of the audience, you know whether somebody's saying there's no outward signs of what sex they've got. You know about that.
I thought it might be fun to see what reaction we got.
Mr. Chairman, could you stand up before you put it to the audience?
I'd even be prepared to strip off, but I don't think it's very good on radio, actually. I let them judge. If you agree with Peter Jones and what he was saying about the chairman, then you boo for him. And if you agree with Kenneth, then you cheer for him, and you all do it together now. The boos ran out longer than the cheers. By sheer sustaining of their noise, the cheers have it. So, Kenneth, you have a correct challenge, and you have 32 seconds on taking the chair, starting now.
Taking the chair was what I often saw in my father's barber shop when he would say to the couple, "Take the chair, next one, and a poor run." father, if ever a creature, said he fancied a blow wave, and my old man said, get out of it! I've had a bishop in here asking for a blonde rinse to match his mitre, but I'm not having none of it. Out of here, he cried.
Derek Nimmer shouted repetition, out. Yes,
out of here.
He said it more than once. I'm not surprised after the things you've described, too. So Derek's got in cleverly with 4 seconds to go, taking the chair, starting now.
A thick skin is a gift from God, and that can be said about Nicholas Parker.
I disagree with both remarks. It's not a gift from God. It's something you have to acquire in just a minute. Anyway, Derek, you did speak as the whistle went. You gained an extra point, and you are now equal with Peter Jones in the lead, and you also begin the next round. And the subject is spoonerisms. Can you tell us something about that in just a minute, starting now?
Spoonerisms are something which was invented, or in fact actually thought of, I suppose, by Dr. Spooner, who was Dean of New College, Oxford, and then became warden of the same place. Actually, it's really rather sad because the poor man suffered from alopecia, do you know, and also was an albino, and couldn't see very well.
Peter Jones, a chap.
That's not talking about spoonerism.
Yes.
Talking about Spooner.
He was talking about Spooner, he was talking about alopecia, and...
Interesting, Derek, and I'm glad.
It was extremely interesting, but if you want me to be dogmatic, I will be dogmatic. There are 38 seconds on spoonerisms with you, Peter, starting now.
Well, two examples of spoonerisms are Neric Dimmo and Ferment Cloyd.
Peter, no chance.
He couldn't manage a third one.
He hesitated. All right, Derek, back with you. 31 seconds on spoonerism, starting now.
Or, for instance, hush my brat instead of brush my hat. In the play that I'm in at the moment, I have to say, I want to go and paddle in the lily pond. And the other night, do you know what I nearly said? I can't possibly tell you because I transposed the words and it sounded absolutely disgusting and filthy. And Dr. Spooner wouldn't have liked my spoonerism. And I have said his name twice.
Yes,
nobody said it up till now. It's a bit slow. What?
Yes, but Clement Foy was grateful for the hint and he's challenged.
I thought he just might have said Dr. Spooner twice.
I think you might be right, Clement, so I will give you the subject of 9 seconds on spoonerism starting now.
Spoonerisms are called after Dr. Spooner, who was at New College, Oxford, and was an albino.
Clement Foy was speaking, and when the whistle went, gained that extra point. He's once again equal in the lead with Derek Nimmo, and Kenneth Williams begins the next round. Kenneth, the subject this time is my personal evolution. Can you tell us something about that in 60 seconds? Starting now.
Well, of course, a lot of honor, but I grew from infant ignorance into an extraordinarily mature adulthood where people are quite literally flabbergasted at not only the overwhelming nature of my intellectual persona and gifts of natural diplomacy and tact, but they are also amazed that such erudition and skill and charm can at the same time be revealed while other people lack...
Clement Freud has challenged.
Modesty.
So we give Clement a bonus point for his challenge, but are you going to have another serious challenge?
That's a serious challenge.
I challenge as well.
But you've got no right. My natural evolution.
Well, all right, no. I mean, if that's all. I mean, we'll give you a bonus point for what you
don't
said.
Don't give him anything, Nicholas.
No.
The audience nothing.
But, Clement, okay, Kenneth, we leave the subject with you. My
thank
personal
you.
Evolution. And there are 10 seconds starting now.
It includes the most dramatic development in what is known as my epiglottis and in the vocal cords. Well, here you are.
Of what your epiglottis have got to do with your personal evolution.
Well, you see, it is as an instrument a quite remarkable one. Now, I can go over, what, about 3 octaves? You couldn't do that, could you? No, of course you couldn't. And I can achieve sounds phonetically, you see, with my vocal range that do stagger. people are staggered.
Perhaps you were born with that. I don't call that evolution.
Oh, Kenny, darling, they say, because they're always trying to get round me and touch me up. Do you know what I mean? Oh, Kenny, darling, they say. And their name, do you know?
And that's what you call evolution?
Sorry, I've forgotten the subject.
He was not talking on a subject then. He was answering a question of mine. He got a point for speaking as the whistle went. And Kenneth, you are in third place now, but only one behind Derek, two behind Clement, our leader, and Clement begins the next round. Clement, you might remember a few weeks ago, when, of course, we had a different audience, a subject we had, one of the seven deadly sins. The subject this time, when we've got the four fellows back together, is a deadlier sin than the one Derek Nimmo talked about a few weeks back. 60 seconds on the subject, starting now.
I think perhaps one of the deadliest sins is building a cattle grid without a ramp from which hedgehogs can get away. The great problem is that these dear little animals fall into the...
Derek Nimmo challenge.
Hesitation, but...
Yes, 44...
Jones wants to speak.
Jones, I just wanted to tell Clement that should I ever build a cattle grid, I'll certainly take all these precautions. And you have my word for that.
They're very, very useful in St. John's Wood. There are 44 seconds for you, Derek, on a deadly sin than the one Derek Nimmo talked about a few weeks back, starting now.
The deadliest sin of all is lust. For I remember the first time that I saw Marilyn Monroe, I was reminded of the words, "There is a broad who has got her future behind her." Because to me, she was in every way the kind of woman that I would like to ensnare and take back to a dirty wardrobe and have my way with her. Those blonde hairs, the long legs, the smooth thighs, the wrists, the arms, the cheeks, the lips, gleaming teeth, they were provoking in me the deadliest sin.
Your performance of Derek Nimmo has not only kept him going to
I was disgusting myself.
Yes, well, I'm
really quite ashamed by the end.
Well,
very good audition for Bill Sykes, thank you.
The others are far too inhibited to challenge you. They didn't see how far you would go. But you kept going to the whistle went. And gained an extra point. You're now in the lead ahead of Clement Freud and, of course, Kenneth Williams, who's next, and then Peter Jones, and Peter begins the next round. Peter, the subject is taking photographs. Can you tell us something about that subject in this game, starting now?
Yes, I used to take them quite a lot. I remember I once took one of my small boy when he was almost drowning, and he was screaming and crying in the water, but I was so carried away because I thought it was such a wonderful shot that I persevered with it, and indeed it was. Later on, when I was able to show it to him, he looked at it with certain mixed feelings because it nearly cost him his life, this little snap. And there he was.
Kenneth Nimmo Challenge.
What, a bit of a
Yeah, it was a hesitation. I'm just rather worried about the childhood that Peter Jones' family had. I mean, drowning while he photographs him. And a number of weeks ago, his daughter had hiccups, and he had to pretend to have a heart attack.
I know.
Well, are your children all right, Peter?
I did overdo it. For instance, I overdid telling them about electric fires and the danger of getting near an electric fire. And I did it so dramatically and effectively, they wouldn't go into a room where there was an electric fire. That's too much, you see.
It's definitely too much. And I think you're very courageous to reveal these things. Around the world.
Well, I think we should alert the public to these dangers, to hedgehogs, children, and all living things, in fact.
I think we should alert the general public to Peter Jones, then that's what we're doing. But Kenneth Williams had a correct challenge, and Kenneth, there are 32 seconds on taking photographs, starting now.
Well, of course, I've done this so often on holidays, and when you turn the album pages and look at the... Oh, that's one of our caves, and that's deck chair and chicken we got rather fond of. It's very nice to see Bill wearing a banana for a moustache. Oh, what a giggle we had. And everyone begins to get very nostalgic about the days when they actually had the courage to get in.
So, Kenneth Williams kept going to the whistle when gained an extra point and others in the round, and he has leapt forward. He's now in second place, only one behind our leader, Derek Nimmo, and one ahead of Clement Freud, and Derek Nimmo begins the next round. The subject, Derek, is Deal. Can you tell us something about that in the game starting now?
Deal is a rather pleasant little place in, I believe, Kent. I think I'm probably right. Rather pebbly beach, I remember. Very nice castle, and of course, hard by is the warmer lifeboat, with which have been saved many lives throughout the English Channel, where it tends to operate, because that is the stretch of water nearest to Deal. But should you go there, please have a look at the castle. I think you will find it.
Peter Jones, a challenge. Repetition of castle. You mentioned the castle before, warmer castle, and now the castle.
I thought it was a warmer lifeboat.
No, warmer life. Well, yes, the castle.
A lifeboat and castle, the same thing. Yeah. Yes, quite a lot.
He's a very intrepid traveller, really, considering he goes round the world all the time, and he only thinks that Deal is in Kent. Very likely to be in Kent.
Yes, well, that's it. You see, he gets on an aeroplane, he never sees anything of this country. Peter, you had a correct challenge, and there are 32 seconds for you to talk on the subject of Deal, starting now.
Deal is to the pine tree what beef is to a cow. In other words, that's what it becomes when the timber is felled and cut up into pieces and made into furniture of a usually inferior kind. It's a sort of...
Derek Nimmo, yes, there was, Derek, and yes. There are 13 and a half seconds for you to take back the subject of Deal, starting now.
A new deal for the American people. That is what President Roosevelt said in 1932, and he was absolutely right. And what he did from then on...
Peter Jones' challenge.
1933.
Two.
Shall we take a vote on it?
I said 1932.
I said 1933.
Then you have to wait a year before he makes the challenge.
No, the thing is that whether he made it publicly in 1933 doesn't really matter, because he could well have said it in 1932. I am not disagreeing with you, Derek Nimmo. Please don't try and browbeat me and try and show me up in front of this marvellous, intellectual, intelligent, fantastic audience. Have I made my point? You still have the subject. You have 5.5 seconds on Deal, starting now.
Nicholas Parsons has every characteristic of a dog except loyalty. I've always said a great deal.
After the things I've said, yes, Peter, what was your challenge? Whatever it is, you've got it.
Thanks very much. Yes. Deviation and personal abuse.
I can't give you 2 points, but you have got one for deviation, and you have 1 second on the subject of Deal, starting now.
It's cut up three.
Peter and Derek Nimmo, Peter Jones and Derek Nimmo got points in that round. Peter has crept forward into third place, and Derek's increased his lead, and Kenneth Williams begins the next round. The subject, Kenneth, is Joseph Priestley. Will you tell us something about that great scientist in just a minute, starting now?
He was one of those 18th century theologians who combined knowledge of religion...
Derek Nimmo, John.
Well, deviation, because you said he had to talk about a great scientist. Now he's talking about a theologian.
Well, he was a scientist and a theologian.
Well, why don't you say that?
Because we're not...
We don't know which one you're talking about, do we?
Because I thought actually you were quite an intelligent chap, and you might have known that, you see.
Well, you should have known better.
The challenge with more like an interruption, he gets a point for that and continues, Kenneth, on Joseph Priestley, and there are 53 seconds starting now.
A dissenting clergyman and consequently led up a lot of trouble for himself with the Orthodox
establishment and his partisan attitude apropos the French Revolution led an angry crowd in Birmingham to rush into his house, ransack and burn the contents, whereupon he, who meanwhile had discovered oxygen and was very interested in testing, removed himself to a place called Northumberland in Pennsylvania. Now it was appropriate with his views that he should have settled in a place like that.
Clement Freud challenge.
Repetition of place.
Yes, they moved himself to a place and...
Well, he doesn't know anything about it. He's only trying to get points. He doesn't know anything about it.
No.
Well, of course, he's got nothing to say about Joseph Priest. Do you watch?
But one of the things about Just a Minute is trying to get points, you see, Kenneth.
Yeah.
And there are 6 seconds for Clement on the subject starting now.
Joseph Priest is a very rare name in Kathmandu. I dare say you would go around the whole of Nepal looking...
Well, Clement Freud, with that extra point, then move forward into second place. One behind Eric Nimmo, one ahead of Kenneth Williams, and three ahead of Peter Jones, and he also begins the next round. Clement, the subject is My Forebears. Will you tell us something about those in Just a Minute, starting now?
My forebears were called Desmond, Montmorency, Charles and Fred. And they were hooked on Goldilocks and adored honey. In fact, they ate more of that sweetmeat than any other bears that I've come across. My children, when they came home from work at night, used to say, "Will you tell us a story about your forebears?" And I would sit down and say, "Once upon a time, there were four bears. They were called Charles, Sonia, Deirdre." It was a different story from the one that I was telling you before. And they adored it. In fact, some of them stopped, went onto the unemployment register simply so they could stay in the sitting room or lounge of the house and listen to other recantations of an animal nature such as this. The four bears that I had were a grandfather, mother, uncle.
Oh, a tremendous effort and almost teetering on the brink of pausing, Clement Freud kept going, and with great forbearance from the other three, he spoke for 60 seconds without being interrupted. He gets a point for speaking as the whistle went and a bonus point for not being interrupted, and he's now in the lead just ahead of Derek Nimmo. Peter Jones, will you begin the next round? The subject is the binary system. Can you tell us something about that? In Just a Minute, starting now.
Oh, Lord, well, it's to do.
Yes, when you begin talking about the binary system with references to the deity, especially to our Lord, I think that is deviation, and I don't...
Well, think I think...
We don't interested in what you think. We're interested in the rules of the game, dearie.
Unfortunately, as chairman, you have to be interested in what I think. Because he'd only been going for 1 second, and he still hadn't had a chance to establish whether he deviated from the subject. So, Kenneth, I disagree. The binary system with 59 seconds is still with you, Peter, starting now.
Rutherford, as I was going to say, would have been able to talk about this at great length. It's a system that requires the use of two digits, usually, I think, 1 and 0. And I don't really know much more about it.
Kenneth Williams has just...
Deviation? That's not the binary system.
Well, anyway, he was deviating.
Yes, but he was deviating. I mean, it was all deviation. The whole thing was, yes.
44 seconds, Kenneth, for you on the binary system, starting now.
The binary system is the system of numbers whereby everyone is divisible by 2. Consequently, 16 divisible by 2 makes 8.
Daring member challenged.
2 2's are 4.
Well, that is the binary system.
I know, you said 2 twice.
But you repeated the word 2 once.
Well, I don't care. You can discuss that subject without telling them.
Well, that's what you have...
someone else do it, then I don't care.
That's what you have to try and do in just a minute or less.
Well, you're going to say what it's about, that's what it's about.
Yeah, but if you're going to play just a minute, we've come principally...
It's about, isn't it? I'm ridiculous, isn't it?
Kenneth, we've come here principally to play just a minute, as well as be entertaining. You're always entertaining, but we've got to keep it the rules of just a minute. So, Derek has a correct challenge and 34 seconds starting now.
The binary system is the basis of modern computer technology. And wanting to know more about it, I wrote away to to the Open University at Milton Keynes and asked them to send me various pamphlets and books about the binary system, which they most kindly did, free of charge. I was awfully delighted by it and then started to watch BBC...
Clement Freud Challenge.
Hesitation.
Yes, I would agree, Clement. So you have 17 seconds to talk on the binary system starting now.
In tertiary education, the binary system is the name given to universities and polytechnics and their varying claims to have a grant and educate children of that age in their own specific ways. I believe personally that it is right.
Well, a very difficult subject on which to talk, but they all achieved something in that round, and it is also the last round in the show this week, alas. Clement Freud was speaking as the whistle went, gained an extra point, and he's edged forward. Let me give you the final score. It was a very close run thing. The four regulars, four most experienced players of the game, and they compete with tremendous panache and style and aggression on occasions, but they give us great value in between. Peter Jones finished in fourth place, just behind Kenneth Williams, just behind Derek Nimmo, who was only 2 points behind this week's winner, Clement Freud. So we hope you've enjoyed the show this week and enjoyed hearing our four regulars pit their wits and verbal ingenuity against each other in such tremendous style. Until we all play Just a Minute again, I'll say goodbye from all of us here. Goodbye.
Chairman of Just a Minute was Nicholas Parsons. The program was devised by Ian Messiter and produced by Pete Atkin.